It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Much love, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day for all of you out there. Even those that may not have a significant other right now, some by choice, some by happenstance, still nonetheless, we're all a family here and we all care about each other. And I wish everyone the best. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. It is February 12th, 2022. Austin Nance, that could only mean an anniversary because I know you have been a member for quite some time. Much love, much love. Lucky number 13, 13 months. Wow. Time flies. Time flies. I am here with my hot caffeinated beverage, feeling a little bit better. 2 days ago, pretty sick with the flu. Still a little off, but I think we will have a fun, tight show tonight. Definitely want to get into SmackDown, want to get into a little bit of AEW. Little rant that I want to do later on. Something I think a lot of you definitely would want to hear, especially, you know, as far as wanting to get in touch with me in the future. I'll explain why later. And we got a live unboxing tonight. I teased it a couple of days ago. It is right here in the box. We will show you that in a little bit. I want to open up with something that, let me put it this way. I think it's a big deal. When the production truck in Saudi Arabia had Becky Lynch and Lita displayed on the truck, and it's historic, women being publicized, advertised on a truck. See, here in the United States, overseas in some countries, you know, we don't take a step back for a minute and say, you know, when you see women crying hysterical, you know, when you hear Lita's explanation as to why she's going, and you see the power and historic value that it is, you know, we don't understand it. We live in a world where we have a plethora of freedom, and unfortunately for some, freedom to be absolute douchebags. But in that area of the world, it is totally different. And remember this. This is not a knock on Saudi Arabia. This is not a knock on their government. But you know that the perception is always meant to be better than what it actually is. So the way that we feel progress, it may not be anywhere near the level that it's perceived to us across the globe. But I got to tell you, watching SmackDown yesterday and seeing what they ended up doing with the tag team match that was announced for Elimination Chamber, I took a step back for a minute and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I don't care how much you hate WWE. I don't care how much you hate the business practices. You have a dozen women competing in Saudi Arabia, and one in particular that I know Steph in the chat room right now is a huge fan of, that even under the weather yesterday, I said, you know what? I got to make the banner. I had no idea what thumbnail that I was going to make for tonight's show. I was going to go lazy. I'm not going to lie. I was going to go lazy and make something like this, but instead of to sit down, just do the Don Tony Show and, you know, that's it. Easy. But I spent last night about 2 hours not only trying to find a good picture for every female, but I wanted to get the current pictures. Hell, I even got the surprise, the question mark that we don't know is going to be in there. And as I'm looking at this, not only do I see that 12 women are going to participate in Saudi Arabia, but Sonia Deville, think about her sexuality. Think about Saudi Arabia. Now, of course, I don't think she's going to publicly display affection in any LGBTQ way, because if you still don't know, go on Google and just type in Saudi Arabia bisexuality or whatever you want and see what pops up. And then you understand, oh my God, you know, some progress, but it is nowhere near anything, nowhere near anything. I mean, for those that don't understand, this is from Wikipedia about Saudi Arabia. This is as of right now. And I'm sorry if it's a little social studies class, but this is important. It's going to lead to something. About Saudi Arabia, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in Saudi Arabia face severe repression and legal challenges not experienced by non-LGBT residents, both male and female. Same-sex sexual activity is illegal. LGBT rights are not recognized by the government of Saudi Arabia. It goes on, talks about Sharia law, but then it tells you that if you are LGBT, you have very few rights. Equal age of consent? Nope. Anti-discrimination laws in employment? Nope. Anti-discrimination laws in the provision of goods and services? Nope. Anti-discrimination laws in all other areas, including discrimination and hate speech? Nope. Same-sex marriage? Uh-uh. Recognition of same-sex couples? Nope. Stepchild adoption? You crazy? Joint adoption? Yeah. Think again. And it just goes on and on and on. So you got 12 women competing in Saudi Arabia. You have Sonia Deville competing in Saudi Arabia. And I was like, this is history. This is legit, huge history. Maybe y'all, or a lot of you out there, didn't want WWE to be one of the catalysts, but they are. I made that banner around 1 o'clock in the morning. I put it online because I think, yeah, this is history. You know, that phrase that everybody's used for years, that sweet Saudi money. Well, no, I think this is sweet Saudi history. This is big. This is big. I put it online, went to bed. I got up today. I don't put stuff online to get hits and be popular, but I try to make awareness. Hell, we have been saying it to death. Sasha Banks is not 100%. There's a lot of websites that have reported Sasha Banks is not 100%. She was in the Royal Rumble. She did a lot less than people realize, that they're taking it very slow with Sasha Banks. She's not 100%. Sasha Banks is not on SmackDown yesterday. You get someone with 70 followers that writes something like this, and you get over 500 likes about something, and somebody wrote right after that, Sasha is not ready to return 100% yet. Everybody ignored it. Everybody ignored it. People want to make statements. They don't care about the truth. So this morning I get up, and I'm curious to see, you know, how many, you know, people, you know, show a little recognition. This is history. It is huge. And how many people enjoyed it, liked it? 11. 11. I deleted it. I deleted it. Wasn't sarcasm. Just to show that is legitimate history there. A dozen women, one who's gay. Nobody gives a shit. You know when people give a shit online? I'm not saying every single person doesn't, but when a few other places make a big deal about it, then suddenly everybody will care. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. This is history. And it just blows my mind that the only thing people want to focus on about yesterday's SmackDown was the taping and Ronda Rousey kind of like not doing so great, smashing Charlotte's head in the table. I'm like, I've totally, totally given up as far as trying to send a message, even on social media, even positive stuff. I post a picture of a salad and I'll get five times the people that'll like say, yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I actually been doing that the last couple of weeks just to prove little points, people I talk to online. So anyway, so that is a big deal. Now, getting back to Sasha Banks, a lot of people are asking the question, who is going to be the mystery person? And the reason why they are keeping it in suspense is because they'd like it to be Sasha Banks. I know what you're going to say immediately. Sasha is a SmackDown participant. Yeah, so is Biggie. You know what I mean? It's like, if it fits the narrative, WWE is going to go with it. And if Sasha Banks is well enough to compete, Sasha Banks will be that participant in the Elimination Chamber. If it doesn't work out, then they will compromise and give us somebody else. I don't think it'll be Dana Brooke. I don't think it'll be anything like that. It's going to be a big name, obviously. It's going to be a big name. But from what I was told, that they are holding out to see if Sasha Banks is 100%. Now, that's why she didn't compete yesterday. Every week that goes by that she doesn't have to perform right now, that's an extra week rested. So if she enters the chamber, I know what some of you are going to say. You know, hey, she enters, if she gets eliminated, oh, now what? Sasha Banks is not stuck in the mud. I know the virtual signaling that goes on social media, you know, trying to make it seem like WWE suddenly doesn't care about Sasha. She is fucking injured. She is fucking injured. She is almost 100%. They're not going to jeopardize Sasha getting re-injured and her being off WrestleMania. That's it. That is the story. There's no misuse or anything like that. I don't know if I would want Sasha Banks in the Elimination Chamber, because in my opinion, it feels like Bianca has to be the winner, unless you want to consider maybe doing a three-way or a four-way at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship. But so many of those seeds have been planted that whoever takes that title off of Becky, I know I sound like a broken record, but whoever takes that title off of Becky, it is going to be earth-shattering. Every time she talks about her accolades, 3 years and everything like that, that is supposed to remind everyone that whoever beats her, it ain't going to be a bullshit fluke. Sasha Banks already has a huge established history in WWE. Bianca needs that win over Becky much more than Sasha does. So you could look, we could see Becky, Sasha, Bianca. And I don't think anybody will complain about that. In fact, I think that would be an awesome WrestleMania match. Yeah, I agree with you. Asuka could very well end up being the one. Remember this, WWE has a few options. They have a few options. They're not going to disappoint. They're not going to let down. I mean, sure, you put Queen Zelina in there, and some people, with all due respect to her, some people would be like, that's the surprise. You know, you got to look at it differently. Got to look at it differently when it comes to Saudi Arabia. So there are a few options available. But if Sasha can go, she will be the one. So I'm not reporting news, and I'm not saying it's definite, but I'm just telling you what the intentions are right now. So we will see. We will see what happens. So how's everybody doing tonight? Yesterday, WWE went back to the 90s a little bit. Excuse me. I'm still recovering from the flu. So I get a little scratchiness in the throat, but I'll be good to go. Don't worry about it. WWE went a little 90s yesterday. Retro. Did you catch it on social media? Now, it sucks because I'm not going to give spoilers for next week's SmackDown. But once I tell you what they did, you could figure out what happened. Back in the 90s, when we had WWF.com, they would break spoilers. They didn't want random people and news journalistic trolls to spoil things for others. So what they would do on their website a lot is they would spoil things, especially with tapings. So WWE, because there's a whole live attendance. Now, for people that don't know what happened, you know, we talked about it last week. What are they doing? The SmackDown before Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia starts at 12 noon on a Saturday, Eastern, next Saturday. How you do SmackDown in the United States the day before? Well, we got the answer that yesterday they taped SmackDown for next week. So it's in the bag. SmackDown wrestlers do not have to participate between now and Saudi Arabia now. Taping is done. Yesterday on their social media and on their website, WWE reported that there was a title change last night at the SmackDown tapings. I don't know if it was in Nashville, wherever it was, but tune into next week's SmackDown to find out who lost their title. Now, then you see the matches scheduled for next week, and once you read the matches, you figure out who won the championship. Now, I know I'm going to spoil that part of it for everyone, but look, man, I mean, you're online, you're watching me, you're listening to me, you go on Twitter, you go on social media, WWE posted it, everybody posted it, so everybody knows what happened. So, unfortunately, I'm going to give a spoiler, but again, this is something that WWE even did themselves. And the reason why I have to say it is because of a rumor going around, which would be an interesting one. Sami Zayn beat Shinsuke Nakamura last night for the Intercontinental title. Yes, Shinsuke Nakamura's reign as champion is one of the worst of all time. Yes, he had a hand injury that kept him out of action 3 to 4 months. Still, WWE didn't do a tournament, didn't take the title off of him, basically left it in limbo for all that time. This is strictly on WWE. And I think it's pathetic because why? Because Shinsuke Nakamura is one of the top talents, period. I mean, especially coming from Japan and getting as over as he did in the United States, that doesn't happen as often as people realize. Why would WWE want any of Nakamura's resume, even though it's not his fault, why would you want on his resume that he had arguably the worst championship reign in Intercontinental Championship history? 1-4, I know you want a shout out. You got to be kidding me. Pathetic? What do I mean by pathetic? How many times did Nakamura defend that title since he had it? 2? Including yesterday? The guy in the annals of wrestling history, the people are going to look back and they're going to say, wow, he had the belt for a long time. The guy never defended the title. The title reign was a farce. How many times do I need to say it? It's not his fault. Do I need to do sign language? Should I learn a different language and say it? Could somebody translate it to me? Not his fault. Sami Zayn is awesome. I have done a 180 on Sami Zayn. You know, with the personal stuff, with the COVID stuff early on, you know, there was a lot of reasons for me to dislike Sami Zayn. This is not crapping on Sami Zayn. I'm talking, separate the two. I'm talking about Nakamura's reign as champion was ridiculous. And that is something that you never could take away. Now, Sami Zayn being the champion, cool. The guy is so entertaining and goes along with everything. And the guy is fabulous in the ring. He's a funny character outside the ring. But I got to share with all of you a little rumor that's buzzing around. Do not take this as news. Just take it as a rumor. But there's a lot of buzz that WWE may do Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania 38. And now the Intercontinental Championship may be on the line. I personally don't think it'll happen. You know, but yesterday on SmackDown, you know, they showed footage of Johnny Knoxville still taking jabs at Sami Zayn and putting his shirt through the wood chipper. So they're obviously keeping that alive. So that is possible. I am not saying that Knoxville's winning a championship. Look, 24/7 title, okay, I'm fine with. But this, you know, I'm just telling you what the rumor is. We'll see, man. We'll see. Look, Johnny Knoxville, he did a great job in the Royal Rumble. He didn't have to do too much. What he did looked great. But a one-on-one, I don't know, you know, how well that'll go. There would be obviously a lot of Gaga involved. Look, I'm not a big fan of Jackass. I never really liked a lot of this stuff. But I got to give the man his credit. And he's a wrestling fan. So when you got someone in Hollywood who happens to also be a lifelong wrestling fan, and they actually respect wrestling, like Bad Bunny and others, you know, it does make me feel a little bit at ease. Because at least it's someone that does give a shit about wrestling and is not going to embarrass it or, you know, bastardize it. But again, this is just a rumor. We'll see where it goes. I still, you know, I thought about it the last couple of days because a few of you have mentioned it. I still love the idea of Melina versus Sasha at WrestleMania. I think that actually would be fun. Melina could still go. But as I said Thursday, and I'll repeat it here, I just don't know if WWE would spend that much time reintroducing Melina to the current WWE universe. And I know some of you out there would be like, oh, that's not too hard to do. It's not, but, you know, she's gone enough that a lot of people out there have only heard about her. And I don't know how far they would get behind her. See, Lita, it's a little bit different. Trish, it's a little bit different. You look at that history of the Divas division, you go back 15 years, you know, WWE has not spent a hell of a lot of time keeping names alive enough that everyday fans, younger fans especially, recognize. That's why Molly comes out to almost no reaction. Kelly comes out to almost no reaction. Summer Rae, very little reaction, and others. You know, that's not their fault. It's just WWE, you know, you almost feel like for the last 20 years, it was pretty much Trish Leader and everybody else, you know? And I think that's a little unfair. So, but we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. So, yesterday, for SmackDown, let me just run through this pretty quickly. And yeah, we got to talk about Moldberg. Okay, I got it in front of me. So, by the way, Pat McAfee was not there because of the Super Bowl. And tomorrow's going to be nuts, obviously, with the Super Bowl. But we have Michael Cole and Corey Graves on commentary. Sonya Deville. And look, man, I am really, very quickly, Sonya Deville is becoming one of my favorites to watch on TV. You know, it's not her fault the way WWE was utilizing her and Adam Pearce. No, we're not going to have that like that. It got so tiresome to see that. But she went and she made a few public appearances last week, and she wore the sling the entire time. That is somebody who gives a shit. You know, we talked about it not too long ago from Shawn Michaels when he did the blinding storyline with JBL, when Zack Ryder had the storyline with Kane and he had the cast and they went and did appearances and they kept the items on. John Moxley with the eye patch went to Japan and went other places and kept it on. I mean, that is taking it the extra mile, because Sonya Deville did not have to walk around wearing a sling. And she did. I thought it was awesome. That's why when I said what I said earlier about Saudi Arabia, you know, all right, you want the 12 women, the dozen, all right, maybe that's not a big deal. The fact that Sonya is going to be able to compete, that's good. That's awesome. It's awesome. Again, it's not going to be any public displays of affection, but just the fact that she's going and she's going to compete, and it's a good thing, man. And it bothers me that so many people out there just don't care. They don't care. They act like they care, but they don't care. They'll care when it becomes a big news story. When it becomes a big news story a week from now or 4 days from now, then suddenly everybody talks about it. No, the minute you find out that she's going to be there, if you truly care that much, the minute you hear about it, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe it. Well, you don't wait 3 days until another website or somebody that you idolize in the journalist world talks about it, and then suddenly it becomes, no, bullshit. Bullshit. Johnny Rosado, nobody is required to care. Just be honest and say you don't care. I totally respect that. But there's a lot of people out there that act like they care, but they don't care. They care when other people care. And it's ridiculous. It's pathetic. So when we talk later on about something that happened a few days ago regarding, you know, a girl on Twitter. And look, I don't know the girl, but I heard what happened. A few people brought it to my attention. And, you know, it just, that just pretty much was the icing on the cake of something that I'm going to say later on. So SmackDown opens up Sonya Deville in a sling. She's basically saying that Ronda Rousey's actions will not be tolerated. She's going to be fined $100,000. I think a suspension was going to be in order. And Adam Pearce comes out, and he read an email from Vince McMahon saying that Sonya Deville has been abusing her power. And Vince McMahon rejected Sonya Deville's request to fine and suspend Ronda Rousey. And Vince actually also adds to it that Sonya Deville is not allowed to lay her hands on Naomi last night in her match trying to gain the SmackDown Women's Championship from Charlotte. And I love the little semantics. Vince's email said that Sonya cannot lay her hands on Naomi. Well, later on, Sonya kicked the shit out of Naomi. But, yes, playing semantics. Oh, Vince's email said, my hands. Now, yes, if you want to, you know, pull strings on that, if you really want to, you know, just be a little very, you know, sarcastic about it, that's her abusing her power, you know. But, you know, Sonya Deville kicking her, well, you said hands. And Naomi slaps the shit out of her, too, because Naomi says, nothing said in the email that I couldn't do anything. So it was good. I liked the segment. It was really good. I got to be honest with you. I have not been in this storyline with Naomi and Sonya because, to me, it's almost on the level of Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch. The storyline that won't die, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And WrestleMania is still almost 2 months away, and I'm saying to myself, there ain't no way they could have Naomi and Sonya have a match at Mania. It's 2 more months of this. This is like a 7-month storyline. But you know what? The last 2 weeks, it's growing on me. I don't know if I want that. In fact, when we were talking about Becky's championship, you know, too bad they can't do something and get Naomi involved in that as well. No, I don't believe Naomi should be put in the Charlotte Flair Ronda Rousey match. I like the idea because Ronda and Naomi have been teaming up on house shows, and they're going to team up in Saudi Arabia. So you can cause a fallout between those two. And obviously after Naomi's performance yesterday with Charlotte, which was fabulous, 20 minutes, beautiful, beautiful. I mean, yesterday showed you that if WWE gives some of their talent enough time, they can prove to you why they truly believe that they could be on a different level. It's what happens sometimes when a wrestler is let go. Now, I'm not saying in the case of Keith Lee. Keith Lee had an awesome match on Dynamite. It did what it needed to do. He didn't take on Bryan Danielson. He took on Isaiah Cassidy. No disrespect to Isaiah Cassidy, but obviously, you know, Keith Lee, the size that he is, and Isaiah Cassidy, the size like this, and he tosses him around like a salad. So, yeah, that's the design for it. Why do you think Bam Bam Bigelow and Spike Dudley is so memorable for ECW fans? Because Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, if people never saw it, go watch back and watch Bam Bam Bigelow and Spike Dudley go at it in ECW. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's why it was done. You don't have to, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But Naomi, I'd like to see her in this championship hunt at WrestleMania. I mean, it just shows you that you give someone enough time and they can, you know, knock it out of the park. She knocked it out of the park yesterday. And again, let's go back to the Saudi Arabia aspect of it. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, the fact that Naomi and Charlotte got that much time yesterday, the fact that they are now having this tag team match in Saudi Arabia, and we have three big matches on the women's side in Saudi Arabia, something that, you know, what, a couple of years ago, just a single one-on-one match. And now we got this. It's awesome, man. I'm telling you, it's awesome. See, you could look at wrestling strictly on the entertainment value, but I look a little bit further than that. And again, no one is forced to, but, you know, I think people understand the magnitude of this. Some people just will never swallow it because it's WWE with the history and not somebody else. So we have Angel and Humberto, and they did a kiss cam thing yesterday. Hey, everybody, it's Valentine's Day. You know, they're doing a little bit of the lovable stuff. I mean, if anybody is going to say anything about WWE doing this, the question should be, what took them so long? You look at Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, how young they are. You know, Humberto's hair has been improved over the years. Remember I said he's got to get rid of the goofy hair and get a little facial hair? That's something that they needed to do. They changed his look a little bit. They're like two young stallions. The girls think they're hot. I mean, I see social media when they're out there performing. What took WWE so long? So they do a little kiss thing yesterday, and they beat Big E and Kofi. Now, I'm sorry if I'm a little bit of a broken record, but I got to say it again about Big E. People got to just let things take its course. You know what Big E is doing right now. You know Xavier Woods is injured right now. You know they want Kofi as a tag team, and they don't want to just put him with somebody random. They put Big E in that team once again. You know, and I'll say it like this. Do you remember when they did the draft? Remember the night of the draft? When they split Big E, Xavier Woods, and Kofi, and they hugged in the ring. I invite all of you out there, go back to Twitter that night, type in Big E, type in New Day, and just do a date search that night of the draft. 95% of the thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets were people that didn't want the split to happen. There were many people that said, yeah, it's Biggie's time, without a doubt. But almost everybody out there, broken heart, sad, why are they doing this? Why is Vince forcing a split? Now, all of a sudden, how dare you put Biggie back with New Day? So, it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel bad that Biggie lost the title the way he did. But right now, you know, you see the names that are out there getting the buzz. I don't want Biggie to have a title just to make a group of people on social media happy. You know what I mean? To make the, you know, the impatient and virtue signalers out there to make them happy. You know, right now, look at Drew McIntyre. Right now, Drew McIntyre is not the center of attention because of everybody else that's involved. So Drew, you know, stuck with Corbin and stuck with Moss. Yeah, that's what he's got for now. You know, and just because they're in those positions doesn't mean that Vince McMahon is soured on Drew McIntyre and Biggie. No, no, that's the perception of people out there because everybody has got to be in the main event. Everybody's got to be the champion. No, that's not the way it works. So Megan Moran tries to interview the Viking Raiders. They're attacked by the Usos. The Usos steal their headgear, whatever. Michael Cole with Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman doing an interview. Roman Reigns with some great comments. If he was in WCW, they'd still be in business. That maybe Goldberg had a shot 2 years ago, but it's totally different now. He's the tribal chief now. He's going to smash Goldberg, and he's going to Goldberg. And most people think that means that he will beat Goldberg in about a minute. I don't know if that's going to happen. Could very well happen. But fun segment. Okay, let me just go back here. I'm just pulling up my notes. Okay. Aaliyah versus Natty. Match could only be won by pinfall or submission. Basically, what happened was Aaliyah got caught in the ropes, and she had to tap out to the sharpshooter. After the match, Natty with a little beat down to Aaliyah. Xia Li comes in once again, defending her friend, coming to the rescue. For everybody who's been very restless about Xia Li in the ring, it is happening. It is happening. You will see Xia Li and Natalya go down very, very soon. Very soon. So this is basically now to finally get Xia Li in the ring on SmackDown. So I loved the Black History Month segment acknowledging Rocky Johnson, narrated by The Rock. Really, really cool. Especially after what we talked about on Thursday when we found out the cause of death for Bob Saget and we were talking about family. And you remember what I said Thursday about Rocky Johnson and The Rock? That was before I had any idea that we were going to get that segment yesterday. So it was really, really powerful. Really powerful. Sami Zayn has an in-ring segment and Nakamura comes out there. Rick Boogs comes out there. And, you know, Nakamura with the, you know, pre-scripted segments. Did you see the movie? And Sami Zayn thinks that he's talking about the Jackass movie. And Sami Zayn thinks he's talking about Jackass forever. But Nakamura is like, no, Jackass defeated, meaning Sami Zayn is a Jackass. Sami Zayn accusing Nakamura of ducking him. And as we said earlier, you know, they had a match the following week. So sorry, but like I said, everybody, including WWE, spoiled it already. Happy Corbin over Cesaro in about 4 minutes. And Michael Cole once again mentioning that since Corbin has become happy, he is undefeated. Riddick Moss trying to get out, or Madcap Moss, excuse me, trying to get out in a match with Drew McIntyre at Elimination Chamber. Trying to sell a black eye, which is all makeup. And Drew shows up with the sword, and it's now a false count anywhere at Saudi Arabia. Michael Cole interviewing Goldberg and, you know, basically, you know, Goldberg, he doesn't care what people think. That, you know, Michael Cole says is that this is what maybe one comeback too many. And he wishes Roman Reigns best of luck of trying the Goldberg. But there's only one Goldberg and it's not going to happen. Sure, it's not, Bill. Sure, it's not. Charlotte Flair. Ooh, you hear that? What the hell is that? I hear like a buzzing sound. You guys hear that? Oh, it was my battery backup. Every like month it does like a little check. Just so happened it did it while we were live on the show. All right. Charlotte Flair retaining the women's championship over Naomi. 20 minutes of fun. I mean, of course Charlotte is not losing the championship right before Mania in a high profile match with Ronda Rousey, but man, watching that match yesterday and, you know, even at one point, we were all convinced that the referee counted to three. Naomi, you could tell that for months and months and months that she has been itching and itching and itching to remind WWE and to remind WWE and also to instill in everybody's head that she is one of the top stars of WWE. And it sucks that she gets, you know, overshadowed because of the Four Horsewomen, because of Asuka, because of now Bianca Belair, because of Rhea Ripley. Because, and look, those are names that are at the top of the list, but Naomi should always be on that list as well. And even though she lost yesterday, they had a fabulous, fabulous match. It seemed like every time Charlotte was getting the upper hand, Naomi would come back. And look, Charlotte, I know a lot of people don't like Charlotte. People yesterday even complaining she's not selling like she's supposed to. You know, I don't know how to comment about that. All I know is that Naomi put in, got a boatload of offense in there yesterday. I mean, you look at Charlotte's entire run as women's champion for the last bunch of years, outside of the Four Horsewomen. I mean, you tell me someone who really took Charlotte to her limit like last night. I mean, you might be able to come up with one or two people. But the amount of offense that Naomi got yesterday, it was fabulous. But, you know, now WWE obviously has a little bit of a situation here because you give 20 minutes. Look, they knew what they were doing yesterday. They gave them 20 minutes. So they knew that this was going to be a long competitive match. And some people, I don't disagree. Some people had said that this is arguably Naomi's best match of her career. It shouldn't have taken this long. It's just that WWE allowed her the time to not only, you know, put it all out there, but to tell a story too. So it was an awesome match. Yes, I agree with you, Mike. Charlotte is the GOAT. Whether people like it or not, Charlotte is the top of the top as far as women's wrestling goes. And Naomi showed yesterday that if WrestleMania was not around the corner and Naomi would have won the title yesterday, there would have been very, very few people complaining. Even if Charlotte was the biggest babyface, I don't think many people would have complained yesterday. That's how good that match was. If you didn't see that match, go out of your way to see it. So after the match is over, Sonya Deville hits the ring. And remember, she can't put her hands on Naomi, but she could put her feet. So she starts kicking the crap out of Naomi. Ronda Rousey makes the save. Charlotte gets out of Dodge, and Sonya's got her arm in a sling. Which arm was it? The left arm. She had the arm in a sling, and she's like, yo, look, my arm. So Ronda's like, yeah, no problem. She takes the other arm. And she goes to town on Sonya Deville's arm, and that's how we go off the air with SmackDown. Fun show. Look, the filler, the middle, you know, Cesaro losing the way he did, you know, it, 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 some of it was, But, you know, that match was enough for me to say I enjoyed SmackDown overall. Now, next week, without giving you spoilers, except for one match, because we already know the outcome. Next week, you're going to have Ricochet versus Sheamus. You will have Shinsuke Nakamura defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn. You will have Jimmy Uso taking on Ivar of the Viking Raiders. You will have a face-to-face with Bill Goldberg and Roman Reigns. A lot of trash talking. And a contract signing with Ronda Rousey and Naomi versus Sonya Deville and Charlotte at Elimination Chamber. So that is your SmackDown for next week. Remember, you know, it is taped because of the travel involved to go to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, if you want to go check out the spoilers online, by all means, by all means. So your current lineup as of right now for Elimination Chamber, and Mish and I will do predictions Monday night. Forgot tomorrow's the sit down. But Monday night, we'll do predictions because SmackDown is already taped. Will Power, bro. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family, my friend. So we'll do predictions for Elimination Chamber on Monday because SmackDown's already taped. So whatever is added Monday, we will talk about it. Now, we should find out Monday who that fifth participant is in the chamber. So, you know, six participant in the chamber. So we should know on Monday. Again, you know, please do not put words in my mouth. I'm not saying that it's going to be Sasha Banks. Could very well end up being Asuka, especially because of Raw. But it's definitely something that is being considered. And it all ends up if she can go. Now, so right now the current card Elimination Chamber is Bobby Lashley versus Brock versus Seth, Riddle, Austin Theory, and AJ Styles with Bobby Lashley's WWE Championship on the line. You have Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki Ash, and a mystery participant for a shot at the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. We have Lita taking on Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. Roman Reigns versus Goldberg for the Universal title. The Usos versus the Viking Raiders for the SmackDown tag titles. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And you have Ronda Rousey and Naomi versus Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. So, nice little card. And remember, the last Saudi Arabia show was awesome. I mean, that was awesome. You know, interesting that Edge is not going to be on this tour. I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, we don't have Edge involved in this one, so. Okay. AEW. Yesterday, we had the Young Bucks beating Roppongi Vice. 13-minute match. They have a history against each other. So we knew the match was going to be a lot of fun. Basically, to hit the BTE trigger on Rocky Romero for the win after the match is over. Brandon Cutler tries to do the spray shit, more comedy stuff. You know, we get a little cameo from Danhausen. Orange Cassidy hits the orange punch. The Young Bucks hit the double super kick on Orange Cassidy. And then Jay White, he is in the ring. He is behind Trent Beretta, and he hits Trent with the Blade Runner, setting up a match next week on Rampage, Jay White versus Trent Beretta. Now, I saw Rampage. It was a fun match. As I said on Wednesday, and as I said on Thursday, you know, Jay White is not signed to AEW. He still has commitments in Impact Wrestling. He still is doing work for New Japan. He is working for other promotions. In fact, I think he's in New York tonight. I think he's wrestling here in New York tonight. So Jay White, you know, this, again, it's a Forbidden Door appearance, and I'm not knocking it. But I need to remind everyone that Jay White has been in Impact Wrestling. Jay White has been heavily featured in Impact Wrestling, a show that is having a difficult time breaking 100,000 viewers. When Jay White hit the ring yesterday, it hit the Blade Runner on Trent. Go back and watch it. I looked at the crowd, and there was some reaction, but very little. Very little. I mean, I know on social media, you got a couple hundred people that make noise, and it seems like the entire wrestling world is talking about it. You know, I don't know how big in the picture is Jay White would he be in AEW. Unless, like I said earlier this week, unless Adam Cole continues building a faction, and it's almost going to be when MJF turned on the Inner Circle, when he brought out the Pinnacle, it almost feels like it feels like the same storyline coming, that Adam Cole is going to turn on the Elite, and he's going to expose his faction and that new name that AEW trademarked. It almost feels like the same thing. MJF, when he brought out the Pinnacle, you could have Adam Cole do the same thing. Is Jay White going to be on the team with Adam Cole? Could very well be. Could very well be. We get a Bryan Danielson interview and talking about John Moxley. He says, you know what you got with John Moxley and CM Punk Wednesday was a one-night stand. He wants a long-term relationship with John Moxley. And then the Acme Insta-feud happens. Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal, excuse me, no offense, nothing against either one of them personally, but yeah, I don't really care. Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal show up. Bryan Danielson says to Lee Moriarty, you need to learn violence. Oh yeah, I challenge you to a match on Dynamite. Excuse me. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad match, but trust me, you think that the casual wrestling fan is like, oh my God, Lee Moriarty. That would be the equivalent of, let's say a year ago, Becky Lynch is in the back cutting a promo. I've beaten everybody on the roster. And then Dana Brooke shows up. You won't beat me. You won't beat me. Oh my God, it's Dana Brooke. In my Don West voice. Oh my God, Dana Brooke. Lee Moriarty versus Bryan Danielson. Speaking of matches that shouldn't go too long, but they did, Britt Baker beats Robin Renegade yesterday. Robin Renegade, I'd never seen her before. She comes out of Who Dat school. She was pretty good. She, no way should have ever gone that long with Britt Baker yesterday. I mean, this is almost like, congratulations, you spent all this money on my school. You really put it into work, and here's your reward. Rampage 7 minutes. You know, too long, too long. Then we get weirdness. We get weirdness. I talk about forced crap. After the match is over, you have Rebel gives Britt Baker the glove, hits the lockjaw on Robin Renegade, and Thunder Rosa will have none of it. Thunder Rosa comes out to the ring. Okay, so far I don't have any problem with it. So Thunder Rosa hits the ring. Jamie Hayter chases off Thunder Rosa. Mercedes Martinez gets involved, and it's almost like the Jericho Eddie Kingston, you know, like fighting for the love of Santana and Ortiz. They're my friends. No, they're my friends. No, they're my friends. And basically you have Thunder Rosa getting chased away, and Mercedes Martinez and Jamie Hayter have some friction for some reason. And Britt Baker with, can we all just get along? Can they get along? Why? Why? If this is your only way to get Jamie Hayter to ultimately have her out of the group, boy, is that like a wet fart. Talk about forced. I don't know. I didn't like it at all. Did not like it at all. Layla Hirsch, Chris Statlander, the feud that will not end. They had another video package, whatever. Hook beating Blade Lee with the Red Rum in about 3 minutes. Hook not going for any titles anytime soon, but they are using him the right way. Fun match. Hook is not designed for, you know, for every wrestling fan out there that thinks, oh, he is doing fine. He has a couple of matches under his belt. Who Dat will ultimately, this is the storyline. He's going to get the Who Dat. And Who Dat is going to bring him along for about a 6 minute match. And this is going to be Hook going to the next level. You know, picture you, you know, you start dating someone. You, right now, you're just a couple of pecks on the cheek, maybe a little kiss here and there. And then you get to second base. Who Dat is second base for Hook. So ultimately, Who Dat will walk Hook through it. Trust me, they are practicing. And it's fine. Fine. Stays on Rampage. No problem with it whatsoever. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus retain the AEW tag titles, beating the Gun Club, Austin and Colton Gunn. I'll be honest with you. I have criticized the ranking system in AEW because it's a joke. You see what happened to the Acclaimed. You see now the Gun Club, number one contenders. 98% of their matches have not happened on Dynamite or Rampage. And somehow they're 69-2. And I know I'm exaggerating. But I got to tell you, they actually impressed the shit out of me yesterday. See, when you watch them on Dark, the matches don't go as long as they do on a Dynamite or a Rampage. So, sure, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus walked them through a lot of it yesterday. But they held their own. And it was a fun match. The outcome was, you know, obvious, but I got to be honest with you. I thought they were good. I think AEW has to do a better job showcasing some of these teams outside of Dark and Elevation. I personally think that Tony Khan, and he did this 1 week. I don't remember who the participants were. It might have been Acclaimed, Private Party, maybe Jurassic Express and another team. But I think what Tony Khan should seriously consider doing is on an episode of Rampage soon, have a four team match. Doesn't necessarily have to be for a title shot. If you want to do contenders match, fine. But I think you put the Gun Club, the Acclaimed, you know, and two other teams, Private Party and another up-and-coming young team. And just showcase it, because I got news for you. Even though Rey Mysterio and Hoovy and Psychosis and others in 1995, when they went to WCW, they already were legitimate stars in Mexico. They already had it. When they showed up in ECW, they killed it. I saw it up close and personal. They killed it. So when they were in WCW, they were already polished and already, you know, on their way. Unfortunately, they were never going to get to the heights that some had hoped because of the era, you know, in the land of the giants. We don't need to get into it that much. But, you know, it was fun to have a Nitro open up, and you would have Hoovy, Psychosis, Ray, you know, La Parca, whoever, you know, whoever. Even sometimes Super Calo, Mr. JL. You know, I mean, do that. Put four of your youngest tag teams against each other in one match and let them showcase what they got. It almost feels like we're watching a preview of the future. Because honestly, you know, stacking up dozens and dozens of wins on Dark and Elevation, you know, it's all great and everything. But just because somebody has 40 wins, you put them on Dynamite or Rampage, and we're supposed to, because we didn't see any of those matches for the most part, we're supposed to be like, oh, well, they have 50 wins, so, oh, you know, I have to get. No, you people want to see it on prime time and see it develop. So I don't know when Brian Cage is going to be doing on SmackDown or when he's going to WWE. You know, look, I've been talking about Brian Cage's misuse for a year. Seriously, it's been that long. It's crazy. But, you know, look, obviously, my coffee is almost done. These Ember mugs are awesome. They keep your thing hot. Because I have a charger over here also, it kept the coffee the same temperature the whole time I drank it. But look, I said it last year, the final couple of months of the year. I said 2022, AEW is going to be remembered a lot about contracts. A lot of people that just didn't pay attention about their contracts is going to get a crash course. And little by little, they're going to understand, you know, that these contracts are on only a couple of sheets of paper. It's nowhere near what a WWE contract looks like. And by the way, we'll have some fun with it on Wednesday. But I thought it was so cute of the reports. I'll give you a little teaser now. The reports floating around, we won't mention the news sites, that WWE is not looking to have indie wrestlers, you know, brought up on NXT. They're looking more for non-wrestlers. And it was just cute because a day or two earlier, Kyle O'Reilly does an interview and makes a remark, something like that. So suddenly, oh, we have backstage sources that WWE's not looking for. No, they heard the fucking Kyle O'Reilly interview and suddenly, oh, yeah, our backstage source. Yet, not only did WWE just offer a contract to Roxy, which you and I talked about, what, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago? But you see what happens WrestleMania weekend. When you see the next bunch of tryouts, and you see how many are coming from the indie world. And then the cute part about the news story, too. I got to get the article. We'll talk about it Wednesday. But they said that the most WWE would sign, you could probably fit on one hand. You know why they said that? Because if you go back the last 3 or 4 years, every time WWE has had a bulk signing, it's on average 5 people. And they're all, most of them are going to be indie wrestlers. So you watch. So a lot of people like the predictions, you know, like what I think by the end of 2022, somebody that is currently in AEW will be a WWE champion in 2022. Now, it might be a 24/7 champion. It could be something higher, but I think, and this is kind of like a wild card, by the end of 2022, somebody who is currently in AEW will be in WWE and hold a title. Could be Brian Cage. I don't know. Just making people want little predictions. So next week, we already have 2 matches announced for Rampage. Powerhouse Hobbs versus Dante Martin. Qualifying match for the Face of the Revolution. Ladder match. We're also going to get next week Trent Beretta versus Jay White. And a little programming note. Next Friday's Rampage starts at 7 o'clock Eastern, not 10 o'clock. So just make a note of that, 7 o'clock Eastern. All right, what do we have left? Wow, we flew through everything. Wow, we only have 2 more things to get into. Oh, we ran an hour, so I want to finish in about 15 minutes. I think that would be fun. Now, don't forget tomorrow night, if you are interested, at 8.05 p.m., it'll be to sit down with yours truly. So my format is blank tomorrow. Whatever you want to talk about, wrestling or none, tomorrow is the night to do it. And as people have seen in the first 10 shows that we have done, they turn out fabulous. The topics of discussion are awesome. And the reason why I think everybody really loves that show is because you come up with all the topics. And a lot of you think alike. So you bring up these topics and it ends up having some awesome discussions. So join me tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Eastern. But we're not done yet. We have a couple of things left. By the way, you like my don't walk thing now? I can't really bring it up close, but if anybody that's like into the retro stuff, here, this is the don't walk. They both work, by the way. But you see, I always wanted, you know, for people that follow the shows personally, I always wanted an old school. See, like, there's a walk. So I always wanted an old school traffic light. See, this is what I grew up, you know. Now they have, like, the hands because not everybody reads English. But that one will go red, and then that one will turn green. So, yeah. It's just a little conversation piece. That's all right. Okay. Two more things, and then we're out of here tonight. Why are you not in a good mood, psycho? Why are you not in a good mood? Maybe this will put you in a good mood. Can't give them to you because Foco wants me to put them on display. For those that don't know, Foco, that does the WWE bobbleheads, they reached out to me a bunch of months ago after we did all the unboxing and the giveaways for the Bray Wyatt stuff. Well, actually, the unboxing first. And they said, hey, do you want to, you know, do a little promoting for us? And in return, we'll send you bobbleheads, unbox them. We'll send you extras to give away on shows. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So this is cool. And I know you all have seen what they look like, but I invite you to go search social media entirely. Search YouTube entirely. I joked with, I don't want to mention his name, but I joked with the guy at Foco. I said, yeah, send it to me. I said, I want to be the first. Even remember when I joked with Brian Clark, you know, I want number one. And he sent me number one of that. I kind of felt bad because you get it. So I'm like, I want to be the first to open it. No one else has these. He sent it to me last week. You're going to be the first one to open it. And this is, I'll show you a picture of it first. It is the Brothers of Destruction bobbleheads that are going to be going on sale. The pre-order is already done, but they're limited to 500. I think the pre-order is already sold out, and these are not being shipped out for another couple of months. So what is cool about these, if you look at the pictures, is that, let's put it here. If you look at them close, they're individual, but the way that they are set up, if you put the rings together, it forms a ring, and they pose together. So that's actually both bobbleheads together. You actually put them together. So what I'm going to do is we're going to open the Kane Brothers of Destruction. We're going to open the Undertaker Brothers of Destruction. Now, obviously, unless my hands, you know, don't get like a little clumsy, you know, I could show you what they look like together. But I want to thank Foco once again for sending these. You know, didn't have to pay for them. We're going to get more, and we're going to give away some in the very near future. But I got to tell you know, their bobbleheads are pretty damn awesome. I mean, really, really cool. So now I just realized I'm not going to be able to assemble them live on the show. I mean, we can probably, but there's like screws involved, but let me tell you something. These things are freaking heavy. If you think, see, that's half the ring, but these things are heavy. But you see the urn in the ring? This is half. And the idea is to put them together and the Undertaker and Kane pose together. You know what? I might be able to put this together now if it takes too long. Because look, I mean, to be honest, out of respect to my friends that tune in on the audio side, I don't think they want to hear me for 5 minutes assembling bobbleheads. But you see, it comes with a neck brace. That's just to protect the neck so it doesn't break. But you see, like, you got the screw over here. So you take the screw out. I'm just going to see if I can do this fast. If I can't, I'll assemble it, and then I'll show you tomorrow how it looks assembled. But, all right, I'm unscrewing it. Okay. Wow, this freaking thing is, you know what? It's going to take too long. But anyway, over here, there's an opening, and literally he would be on here. So this is the Undertaker one. He poses in the ring with the urn. No Paul Bearer. If anybody that's asking, there is no Paul Bearer. So we will take the cane out. Yeah, I unfortunately, it's going to take me a little bit long to screw the Undertaker. Yep, screwing the Undertaker. Yeah, the Bray Wyatt one is awesome. I still have a bunch in my office. I have them boxed up to ship out. We could do some contests soon. I just held back on the contest a little bit because you start to see a pattern where you have people tuning in just for a contest. Now, let's take the neck brace off. And that's what the cane looks like. If you see, you take the screw off over here. And then the ring, just to show you how it looks together. See, that's the other side of the ring. So you could have Kane pose in this ring, but what you do is you put them together. There you go. Brother, you know, like this. Brothers of Destruction. So that's the idea. You just attach them to each ring. You put them together. So tomorrow, I'll already have it assembled, and tomorrow I will show you how it looks. But I'm telling you, yes, they are made of resin. They are not made out of plastic. They are heavy. They are heavy. They are definitely worth it. Oh, let me see if we hear something. Chris Silver, what's up? Do I think Brock Lesnar should win the Universal Championship so he could get his revenge at Roman Reigns? I like the idea, to be honest with you.
Super chat.
See, we got a little sound effects now. Somebody, thank you to Joey who gave me that idea. I'm almost tempted to put these together, but we'll do it tonight and I'll show you tomorrow. Look, everybody is stuck on the title for title. And I'm trying to look a step ahead here. I personally feel, since you have two nights of WrestleMania, you should have a women's championship match on each night, and you should have a men's heavyweight championship match on each night. And I use the example that night one could be Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair and Bobby Lashley versus somebody else. The second night would be Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey and Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I personally do not want to see Bobby Lashley lose this championship now. I understand, and we talked about it, that the victory over Brock Lesnar was an absolute must for his resume and to cement his legacy, Bobby Lashley, but not at the expense of him only having the championship for about a month. You know, he loses at Elimination Chamber. Bobby Lashley would have had the title, what, 6 weeks? And I personally would like to see Bobby Lashley go into WrestleMania as a champion, heavyweight champion. So I like the title versus title. The thing is that there's a lot of rumors that Roman Reigns is going to take some time off right after WrestleMania. Is Brock Lesnar going to appear on both shows? I don't think so. You know, there's also the possibility of, and nobody's talked about this, but I'm going to throw it out there. Let's say Brock Lesnar does win the championship at Elimination Chamber. Yes, you could do title versus title, but what if one of those two wrestles the next day and has to defend one of those championships the next day? See, I like the title for title, but not at the expense of having Bobby Lashley's run. Because look, nobody is talking about, oh, Bobby Lashley's run is going to look like shit. So they ran through Big E, and then Bobby Lashley only lasts 6 weeks, and now you have two wrestlers holding up two titles. You know, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Unless, you know, they, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, if you do title versus title, then that means only one of those nights is going to have heavyweight championship match on there. This is not going to be a repeat of Drew McIntyre that after he won the championship, he faced Big Show the same night. If they did title versus title on night one, does that mean that the second title is defended the following night? I think that would just look like a mess. So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to see Bobby Lashley lose that championship. Let me say this. People are going to tune in to Mania to see Brock versus Roman, whether there's one title on the line or two titles on the line. So you're not going to have less people tuning in because Roman title is the only one on the line. So why even go that route where the same number of people are still going to be interested in that match? If there's what, why take that second championship away from others who definitely deserve an opportunity or to, you know, have a little bit of a better run? You know, I could see if WWE really heavily had to rely on Brock versus Roman to carry the whole WrestleMania, or if it was only one night. If it was only one night and they wanted to really hype this up as like title versus title, I could see it. But the fact that there's two nights and no one is going to be disappointed if only one title is on the line, that's why I think it would be a mistake to do title versus title. I would love it, but I think it's a mistake. So, all right, before I get out of here, I just wanted to mention this because based on the emails that I got about and a couple of DMs, there's enough of you out there who know this girl, and you know, I saw what went down, and I just want to explain, you know, I want to just be clear. You know, if you look at my Facebook, I'm never on there. I completely stopped posting on Facebook. Even my personal Facebook that is open to my personal friends, family, you know, relatives, I don't even post on there either. Discord, I only use it for the Patreon show. Too many assholes, snakes in the grass, two-faced people. And, you know, I don't go on there either. And Twitter is now my next where I'm going to be stepping away. I want to make it clear I'm not closing my account down because I do speak to a lot of people on Twitter through DM. My DMs will remain open for everybody who I talk to. But if you notice, even people in wrestling, a lot of them no longer go on Twitter, no longer tweet. Samoa Joe's tweet the other day, much happier person. Some wrestlers who I have communicated back and forth for the last year or so online, if you notice, almost none of them are tweeting anymore either. Twitter is turned into, in a lot of ways, the absolute garbage. It's a cesspool. And the thing that is ridiculous about it is I keep seeing people say Twitter is the problem. Twitter is garbage. Twitter sucks. Twitter is disgusting. As if Twitter has fingers. As if Twitter is a human being. No, Twitter is not the problem. A lot of those people are the problem. So just to show you once again, if you remember we talked about the formula, I had a bunch of you the last couple of days bring to my attention, hear about this girl, Cher, I think her name is, that I guess maybe she podcasts a little bit here and there, but she's, you know, very active on social media. And apparently, you know, what happened was she, I guess, has an OnlyFans account. And look, a lot of you have asked me in the past, what do I think about people with OnlyFans? Hey, you know, you could make money off, you can make a living off of it. If you enjoy doing it, you know, good for you. Good for you. I don't frown on anybody who has one. It doesn't always have to be sexual. I mean, there are a lot of women that have OnlyFans accounts, and it's more of just being a fan. It's not always about sexuality. I don't subscribe to anybody's OnlyFans. Number one, I just don't want to spend the money. And number two, I'm engaged. And, you know, we're very open with our phones and credit card bills. And, yeah, I'm not having OnlyFans charges pop up on my bills. And I would never set one up either for anybody that's asked in the past. But just to show you how low wrestling social media can go, and I explain why I am pretty much done with it. I don't know. I've never talked to her. I never paid attention to her. I don't, you know, communicate with her. I don't communicate, I don't believe, with anybody on her inner circle either. But apparently there's a lot of people that don't like her or others out there. And basically what happened, if I got the story correct, is that she has an OnlyFans and she had some adult activity on there, and somebody, for revenge, simply because they don't like the people that she associates with on social media, somebody signed up, grabbed all of her adult footage, and sent it to her mother, and then deleted everything. And let me tell you something. You know, when you see people online crying, like, I mean, that destroys people. That's not ha-ha, this, that. That destroys people. And, you know, I want everybody to understand, you look at my Twitter activity even before this incident from a couple of days ago, and you see, other than posting from my show, responding to someone, maybe I post something with my fiance. That's it. I don't go on Facebook anymore. I don't go on Discord anymore. And let me tell you what the biggest problem is here. Because what I noticed the last couple of days when this happened to this girl, which is terrible that happened to her, what a lot of people still don't understand. Take it from me, who has been on social media going before MySpace, okay? I had a Facebook page for the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. That Facebook page was active. Thousands of people subscribed. Lively, awesome. What would happen is I would get trolls. I would get haters. I would get a lot of insults my way, fake posts. And me back then, my reaction was, fuck you. Give it back to them, shit on them, make fun of them, make fun of their family, do it 10 times worse. And you know where that usually got me? All it did was play this one up with each other. Oh yeah, no problem. Take nude photos during the shows, posting nude photos, child porn, taking pictures of my mother's head and putting it on a dead person's body and posting it on the Facebook page. Because back then, you could spam Facebook with hundreds of photos, and it wasn't just one person. You had a bunch of people that as soon as we went live, they would all start spamming my page with all this porn and all this disgusting stuff. And I literally would have to stop the show and take the page down, remove all this stuff, report, delete. And this happened over and over. I got rid of the Facebook page. I killed it. Because I realize is that the culture is that when someone is an asshole, all right, as ridiculous as this may still sound to a lot of people out there, the best thing to do is look the other way, block it, block the person. Don't feed into it. Because if you feed into it, you're just lighting the fire for somebody else to do even worse. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying that this girl did anything, because I don't know her. And from what I saw, and I did look at her page, and I don't, she doesn't seem like the type of person that if she had a hater, that she would just go after the person and say, but what a lot of people do on social media, and this is where it gets really, really awful, is you do have this clique of people online that almost invite or almost are waiting for trolls to show up, the haters to show up. You might have paid attention to stuff that I said over the years, that it's weird because people in wrestling, you know, they get hate for decades and decades. Athletes, musicians, politicians, you know, actors, actresses have been getting hate mails for 100 plus years. And what would seem to happen on social media is you get it. There's always going to be an asshole trying to start trouble. And a lot of times we would see people in wrestling, because we obviously all follow wrestling, is they'll find a social media account with 10 followers and just, hey, everybody, blow this person up. And everybody runs after this person, this and that. And it just was very odd. This is going back 10 years. But the thing is that the problem that a lot of people have on social media, and it still happens now, and it continues now, is, number one, a lot of people want a virtue signal, that they will grab anything negative about someone else, never want to fix the problem, but will just do it to so they can make themselves appear to be better. And when you get these assholes on social media that start trouble, instead of just blocking them and just don't give them the feeling that they got, because that's what they're doing, they're trying to trigger a reaction. What happens is you get a bunch of people online that will go after them and go after them 10 times worse, feeding the flames, fanning the flames. Instead of putting it out, putting the fire out, you know, you got haters. How do you respond? What do I always say on the shows? The best way to respond to haters, the best way to do this is success, happiness. For the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a little test on my Twitter. I'll post something pretty cool, important, real life stuff, and get no attention whatsoever. I post an avocado salad, 50 likes. And you see people out there that will bring up horrible, horrible stuff and virtue signal just to give the impression that they're a better person. So now you get these haters online that will say some rotten shit. And then you get this pack of people that will just one after the other go after them, after. And instead of trying to put the fire out, all they do is fan the flames. And what that does is it provokes others to try to one-up them. And what I watched the last couple of days is, look, what happened to that girl is awful, disgusting. I don't know legality with revenge. To me, it almost seems like that's against the law. But this has nothing to do with her, but I saw a lot of people that, oh, this is disgusting, this is terrible, this and that. Yet, when they get a hater going their way, unleash the hounds. Let's massacre this motherfucker. And what you do is you fan the flames. You know, I've always said, my dad brought me up, that you don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. Just because someone else is an asshole doesn't mean that I should be an asshole too. And when you get some assholes on social media, some people, it's almost like they're foaming in the mouth. Oh, let's all murder this person, not physically, but let's just chase them off of social media. Let's just get them out of there. And then what happens is you fan the flames, and then you act shocked when an arsonist shows up and starts this gigantic forest fire. So the culture, the climate of all this hate, a lot of these people who are outraged the last couple of days, look at their wall and you tell me if they try to calm things down or they almost invite, like, hey, you want to fuck with me? No problem. Watch what happens when you fuck with me. Watch what happens if you go against my words. Watch what happens if you criticize me at all.
Super chat.
Crazy Cruiserweight with the run-in. I'll answer you in a second with your Jade Cargill question. But you see what's been going on the last couple of days. I learned my lesson when I had my Facebook page. I thought the answer was, okay, motherfucker, you want to fuck with me? I'll fuck with you back 10 times worse. And then it just becomes a game. And then they're like, oh, yeah, okay, you want to go after me? No problem. You watch what happens. You get all these people that gang up and then start really. So, you know, it's just another reason why Twitter is not the problem. It's the people behind Twitter is the problem. And it's just disgusting. I am fed up with it. And I'm telling you, and I am going to start effective immediately. I'm announcing it here. When I want to talk about stuff, I'm only posting it in a community section. You'll see me once in a while on Twitter, and it's mostly going to be responding to others. But as far as initiating conversations, like I said last night with the Saudi stuff, you know, that's a bigger deal than you think. And again, I understand, you know, not everybody cares about that aspect, but something that big, and, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm like, you know, just the priorities are off. It's just there's so much hate on social media. And then the worst is, look, without naming names, you look at some of these Facebook groups that are out there that I used to frequent also. You go on those pages and it's just put down after put down after put down after put down. I had pages where people were going after me vicious. And then I find out about it. And before I can respond, comments are closed. I can't even, you know, fight back or even justify. And I don't mean fight back with insults, but somebody writes something that is 100% untrue. Before I could even clear it up, comments are closed. So it's just me. I don't tolerate, you know, you could criticize my views. You could disagree with them. You could criticize other people's views here also. But when you get in the territory of calling people an asshole, calling them this, saying they're stupid, this and that, most of the time I delete the comments before those here get even a chance to see them. I don't allow it. And I certainly would not have a Facebook page. If I'm a good person, I'm not going to have a Facebook page that allows hundreds, if not thousands of people to be absolute assholes. Twitter should not be a place where, okay, I'm just having fun. No, Twitter should not be a place where you have the right to be an asshole or to let off steam. Let me be a dick. I'm not really a dick, but it's Twitter. I'm just fucking around. No, it is a cancer. It is a cesspool. I'm glad that Facebook is imploding. They lost like $200 billion last week. Good, good. Because this is just another example. It's that formula that I always talk about. You know, people need that attention so bad that you have people that will lie their entire social media life painting this picture of something that they're not. You have people out there when they start feeling a little bit lonely and need a little attention. Oh, let me just tweet some tragedy just to have a thousand people thinking about you, praying about you. Or you get people that will say a lot of horrible stuff behind your back, or people that'll make burner accounts just to write shit about you. And like I say, you know, instead of just trying to have a climate of, you know, being more fun and friendly and not tolerating it, there's a lot of people that invite it. Oh, yeah? Yeah, come at me, motherfucker. Watch what happens. So then you get these whack jobs that want to take the extra step. So I'm done with it. So if I were all of you out there, you want to be notified of some things that I do. And look, this doesn't help my numbers, but on my channel, make sure you have notifications active. This way, when I post an announcement or a contest or something or a programming change or something, you get notified right away because my Twitter footprint is going to be next to nothing effective immediately. You look, the Saudi thing, I deleted that tweet. Something I posted about Dynamite, I deleted that tweet. I deleted that stuff. I'm like, you know, I posted just to see, you know, did people give a shit? No, but if I post something about, you know, something absolutely dumb, everybody runs to it. So that's pretty much it. It's a shame. It is a shame. It is a shame. But it's just gotten to the point that, you know, I was already fed up with it and I've talked about it before. But after I saw what happened to that girl, I'm like, man, I'm watching people outraged, livid. And I believe that they were really angry what happened to that girl. I'm not saying that they aren't. But I also see some of these people like, wait a minute. You basically use other hate as a reason to throw it right back at people. And I'm looking at all these people, I'm like, are you surprised? You know, if you have people fighting and arguing and burning things, not physically, but just burning things down, and you don't try to calm that and try to everybody, you know, get together and have fun and this and that, but instead, you know, try to give it right back. You're just inviting worse people and worse situation and worse, and shit happens. Nobody caused this, what happened to this girl. This is just an absolute asshole that did this. And whoever it was, you know, I hope they get in a lot of trouble for it. But it's just another example that, you know, this hatred that goes on, you know, it's a fucking joke. It's a game. From the Hannah Kimura stuff to everything else. Oh, we need to be better. Can we be better? We got to be better than this. You never know what somebody's thinking on the other side of the thing. And then after a couple of weeks, the formula I always talk about, after a couple of weeks, a little joke sneaks in. A little insult sneaks in. A little put down towards someone sneaks in. Because somebody likes AEW. Because somebody likes a particular wrestler. Make fun of somebody's look. People, you know, talking about the shit with Adam Cole, you know, the way he looks. Seeing stuff with Keith Lee the other day, you know, people like, oh, he looks, you know, rotund, grotesque, out of shape, you know. And to me, that's a ridiculous point of view. But it's like, it's just nothing but negativity. And I see the people that should be setting the example and just letting that, not tolerating it. It's like, okay, motherfucker, I'll give it right back to you and see how it feels. And it just continues and continues and continues. That's why you see like protests going on. There are people who protest because they want things better. And then there are people that'll protest just to loot and burn and look for an excuse to basically try to get something. And then you loot and you burn, and then something tragic happens, and then they feel like they're victim. What happened to that girl shouldn't happen to anybody. And she did nothing to deserve that. But I see nobody the last bunch of days, for the most part, doing anything to try to make this climate, this culture, to be a little bit more positive. You know, there's too many people out there that think their shit don't stink. There's too many people out there that virtue signal everything. It's got to be about, you know, or women. It's got to be about Jackson Ryker. I saw his interview thing. I'm going to comment about it on Monday. And yeah, some of the things he said is ridiculous, you know, but because so many people hate him about the Trump stuff, when he says, oh, you know, if I was in my 20s, I'd punch somebody out. And people are like, wow, this guy's fucking crazy. He's this and that. Yet you have a musician or a rapper or somebody is like, I don't remember who said it, that was very famous, said that Twitter is a place where people that could say shit in their basement that anywhere else would get punched right in the face. And millions of people love the comment. You know, it's just, I'm fed up with it. So I'm done with it. Okay. Before I get out of here, just want to shout out Mr. Cruiserweight with his super chat, if you don't mind. Who's Jay Cargill's next opponent after AQQ? Okay. It's a joke. GED, SVU, Geraldine Green, Patty Pancake. Well, I'll say two things to that. Number one, congratulations to AQA. She is signed to AEW. She was Zeta Ramir in NXT, for those that may still not be aware of it. She's not bad. I mean, we saw her moments in NXT where she actually showed that she could go. She came through Booker T school, and she's pretty good. She's still very young in her career, but this is someone.
Super chat.
Oh, someone else with the run-in. Oh, this is Roger Rubio with the coffee. Much love, my friend. Thank you very much. Yeah, we got the little audio run-ins now, so I can acknowledge everybody right away. Thank you, Roger. Much love. But, you know, AQA, the former Zeta Ramir, you know, she's not bad. You know, I was very surprised the amount of offense she got in against Jade Cargill. And like I said on Wednesday, she's not experienced enough yet that she should be in the ring general in a match with Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill still has a lot to improve. No question. She is definitely better than what she was 6 months ago. Bryan Danielson, which we talked about before, is helping her. And, you know, when you sign some people especially some who really, really do love professional wrestling and want to help some of the stars of tomorrow. You remember the Sandman story I talked about last week, as ridiculous as that sounds. When you saw 20 no-name scrubs that probably would never make it in wrestling, and I was there also, and this guy for 40 minutes is talking to everyone and answering every question and giving advice. You should do this. You should do this. And I know some people would be like, who would take advice from him? You'd be surprised. He didn't have to do that. He doesn't get paid for it. But even, you know, you have someone like Brian Danielson, you got Mark Henry, you got Paul White, Matt Hardy, and others. Some out there might be like, oh, what other old reject is AEW going to sign? That knowledge, helping them learn etiquette behind the scenes, traveling, dealing with things emotionally, physically, you know, some of that is priceless. You need leadership like that. So I was very, very happy that AQA got signed to the contract. But, you know, doesn't mean that she's going to be women's champion tomorrow. But that was a good signing. That was a good signing. Jay Cargill, look, you know, they're going the Goldberg route. And eventually she's going to have to face somebody that competed in the women's championship tournament, the TBS tournament, that is not named Anna Jay. She's going to have to start facing those names. Right now, listen, and I'm going to say something that's going to probably upset a few people. Right now, there are a lot of people that are very reluctant to say anything on social media about the names, the opponents of Jade Cargill, with the fear of being roasted by, you know, the pack, you know, that just, you have, everything is pro AEW or nothing. You make a cut. Look, I showed you this tweet earlier about the Sasha Banks thing. This got, what, 500 and something likes. It's a lot more now. It got 500 and something likes within a couple of hours. And you saw people immediately, Sasha Banks is not 100%. That's why she's not being used right now in SmackDown. Nobody wanted to hear that. They just want the passionate, that just sounds like renegade. Mustafa Ali, tonight on Twitter, Ali said on Twitter, I guess I'll see you guys in 2.5 years. Basically that he's just going to sit out the rest of his contract. And somebody wrote back, you're cashing those checks. And look, I wouldn't say that, but it's not like the guy's forced to stay in that company for 2.5 years and not getting paid for it. Go on that tweet right now. There are hundreds of people that are not only shitting on this guy, but you have a few dozen that are calling this guy a racist. Because he's a white guy, made that comment about Ali. Look at this fucking racist. You know, only figures a white guy would say something like that. Then you have some whack job that claims he's from, I think, Saudi Arabia, that said, you know, to, I think, WWE, you're holding, I think, a Muslim hostage. You're holding Mustafa Ali hostage. You know, it's just this really, really disturbed shit out there. But again, you got people that are very afraid to show any, you know, any negativity about Jade Cargill's opponents or her run, in fear of either the AEW real loud noise that are going to go after that person or put them down, or worse, some people will accuse someone of saying that because she's black or because she's a woman, this and that. So a lot of people are very afraid to speak their mind. Look with the Tony Khan stuff. With the Forbidden Door, we talked about it on Thursday. Tony Khan, you know, said that the person who's going to walk through the Forbidden Door, face Isaiah Cassidy, sign the contract, and slam the Forbidden Door shut is one of the same. Keith Lee did not go through the Forbidden Door. Keith Lee was fired. Keith Lee was a free agent. It's an awesome signing. I loved this signing. But that was a flat-out lie. And then he tried to cover it up by saying, we didn't secure Jay White until Sunday. Okay, did Jay White sign a contract and slam the door shut? No. He got caught in two lies. You go look at his Twitter. Jessica Ruiz, I mentioned her the other day. She's in our chat room a lot. She responded back to him very, very professionally. Said, Tony, you know, totally understandable. But, you know, next time, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this because, and she pointed out that what he said last Friday in those three tweets after Rampage was untrue. And it was totally, totally ignored. A couple of wise-ass reactions in response. You can't express your own opinion if it's different, if it is unpopular, if it's unless it's part of that pack mentality. And honestly, enjoy your likes, enjoy your follows, enjoy your retweets, enjoy your responses. But honestly, in my opinion, the people that sit there and allow that shit to happen and do nothing but sit back and eat popcorn and enjoy watching other people implode until it's one of their own friends that gets it, you know, they are just as bad. No, Twitter is not the problem. Everybody that I'm pertaining to is the problem. They just use Twitter as the medium to do it. It used to be MySpace. It used to be message boards. It used to be forums. It used to be Facebook. You wait until it leaks into Instagram. And then you see, it's just another medium. It's just another platform for people to be the lowest of the low and hide it behind jokes, hide it behind popular opinion, hide it behind criticism, this and that. And then little by little, it gets worse and worse and worse until something really fucked up happens to somebody. And then we got to do better. We got to stop this hate. We got to do this. We got to do that. We need to set example. We need to do this. And then that lasts for a little while, and then little by little, little remark comes in, little nasty comment, little bull this comes in, little gang mentality, little this. God forbid you show a little bit of love. Look at Mickie James. Mickie James, Nick Khan, went up to her and apologized to her at the Royal Rumble for what went down. Instead of just people saying, look, I don't like Nick Khan, but that was a cool thing to do. All right, no. He's full of shit. Yeah, he only said it because he had to. It's just like people just want the negative shit. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. Tomorrow night, like I said, at 8:05 p.m., the sit-down with yours truly. I want to shout out Raphael for the nice little artwork. You know, it's, I don't know, my lips look kind of a little funny, but I like the idea. It's the suit, but I'm wearing the hat. It's almost like, it reminds me of Paul Heyman in the past, when Paul Heyman would... you know, he would have his preppy Wall Street outfit and then he'd wear the hat or something also. So I like it. I like it. Yeah, Psycho, people use social media as a weapon. It's a weapon. And it's terrible. It's terrible. It sucks that shit like this has to happen. You know, believe me, I tell you, you know, back in the day when my page would get flooded with even child porn, it's mischief, I'm lying, child porn. That's what they would flood on Monday nights to try to just fuck with the shows. People should have went to jail over that stuff. And, you know, I look back on it, nobody felt bad. Nobody gave a shit. You know, people sat there, oh, that's fucked up, that's terrible, but they're eating popcorn on the other side. I mean, it's just, it's awful. It's awful. I've seen it. And until people out there truly, you know, do change their mindset, you know, it's going to just continue and it's going to get worse. And you're just inviting whack jobs to go the extra mile. So, all right. I hope you can join me tomorrow night, 8:05 PM. Fun show tonight. Tonight I will put this thing together. I'll put Undertaker and Kane, make it nice. And I'll show you all tomorrow how it comes out. And, Jeff, even like, I'll leave you with this. Jeff said, should have called the FBI. Look at that Twitter account, AEW Botches. I don't know who the person is. That guy claimed that because he's an AEW fan, that people called his family, threatened his kids, threatened all his wild stuff. You had hundreds, if not thousands of people standing by this guy and showing all this. And what I did was I actually filed 2 FBI complaints for him. I filed 2 FBI because they take it seriously. I've had to do it before. And I said on my show that night, I said, look, I don't know if the guy's telling the truth or not, but maybe this guy doesn't know. You could do this, this, and this. And the FBI takes that shit seriously. especially when you claim that a minor is being threatened. Do you know to this day, the guy, not even a DM, hey man, I appreciate what you did. Did I want to thank you? Probably. Did I have to do this? No. Did anybody ask me to do this? No. But not even a, hey man, thank you for doing that. And to this day, I don't know if it really happened or the guy was just lying to get attention on himself. But why would you not even thank someone for actually filing an FBI complaint? The only thing that I could think of is, well, if the FBI really follows through with it and finds out that it's not true, that I might have gotten this guy into trouble. You know, I don't know what the truth is, but you see, like, people in the past, somebody threatens their life. Instead of calling the cops, they tweet about it. And if your immediate reaction is you threaten my fiance, you threaten my mother, you threaten my kid, you threaten my husband, if I don't call the cops immediately or file a complaint and then just blacking out the private information, instead I just post a tweet about it, to me, 9 times out of 10, you're full of shit. Because anybody in their right mind, somebody threatens my life or my family's life, I go right to the fucking cops. I go right to the cops. I don't tweet about it. Or I go to the cops and then I tweet about it. So it's just, it's whack. It's whack, man. It's totally whacked. But like I said, this community here, it'll always be a positive one. You can disagree with each other. You can, you know, definitely, I'm not saying everybody's got to be on their best behavior, but when it gets to the personal attacks and calling people stupid and calling them some outrageous stuff, even, I don't care if you're, and look, I'll be honest, I don't care if you're an elite channel member, you could super chat me $1 million. You take someone else that just is tuning into the show and expresses an opinion about something, they're happy about Saudi Arabia, they're happy about this, and somebody responds to them and says, what are you, a fucking, I'm not going to say the words, no, I'm going to delete your comment. I'm going to delete it. If you don't like it, sorry, go somewhere else. So, much love, everybody. Have a fun Saturday night, what's left of it. And if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. It definitely helps more than you know. And if you're around tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, join me. Sit down with yours truly. I will have coffee in hand, blank sheet of paper, and my ears and my eyes will be open. Whatever you want to talk about, it will be on the menu. So much love, everyone. Be well. Stay safe. And I'll talk to you all hopefully tomorrow, if not Monday night after Raw.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
All right, I say the Rams will win 37-24, but I am rooting for the Bengals, for those that are asking. So Be well, everybody. Stay safe. I know you can't see me right now. You can't see me.